Hello, med students. My name is Zach Olson, and thank you for downloading this week's episode of the EM Clerkship Podcast. I'm assuming that if you've spent any time training in medicine, that you have probably encountered these patients, probably in the ICU. People, they're like you, they're real life, beautiful people that really were somebody at some point. They're someone's child or they're someone's friend, and they're in the ICU. And it's one of those situations where they're full code, but you know deep down that they probably shouldn't be. It just doesn't seem right, right? They have advanced dementia or they're end-stage cancer. And you know how it is. It's just the fluorescent lights. And a lot of times they're restrained to the bed and they're intubated and they're like gagging against the vent. And it doesn't seem right. I mean, it's not the type of thing where we get like sued for doing that type of stuff. You don't get in trouble for the kind of doing that in the ICU. That's almost like how it's legally required to be in many cases, but it seems so wrong. And this is something that as the next generation of doctors coming in, us millennials, I feel like this is an area of medicine. Palliative care is an area of medicine that if we really work together, we can really tackle this and make some progress to help these patients. The issue that I've always had is that as a busy emergency medicine doctor, there's many days where I just feel like I'm completely drowning. And I struggle with finding even the smallest amount of time to do this or to talk about the end of life with patients who clearly are in the final stages of their life. And as a result of this, my approach to palliative care, at least out of the emergency department, it was a little different in the ICUs when I had more time to sit down with patients. But out of the emergency department, I've had to come up with kind of an approach that is very quick and pragmatic. You can't really do like this academic droning on. You have to keep it really simple. With that said, here are my personal 5 simple steps to palliative care in the emergency department. Step 1 is identify. You have to choose the right patient or family to have this conversation with. You can't be having, you can't just talk about the end of life and dying with like every single patient that comes into the emergency department. That's completely not realistic. You have to be selective. In the show notes, I basically attached a citation to a paper and it's called The Patterns of Functional Decline at the End of Life. How to know when somebody is dying or they're starting that dying process. This is so important. This is the JAMA study that scientifically figured that question out. It looked at the lives of patients in their final year of life to help us recognize the patterns that you see at the end of the life so that you can recognize when the patient is going to die soon and when to talk to them about palliative care. And so in that paper, and you can read it, but the first group, a big group, is patients with cancer. Cancer patients, they function really, really well, even in their final year of life, even on chemo, until it's like the last few months. And all of a sudden, it's like they're unable to perform their ADLs, their activities of daily living. And it's just like they're falling off a cliff. That's kind of the clue. That's the red flag. Chemo was going fine. And then all of a sudden, things just start to deteriorate for them rapidly at the end. And they get out of the hospital and they bounce back and they get out and they bounce right back and things just are just spiraling out of control. Those are patients that you kind of want to catch and direct towards consideration of palliative care early before they become critically ill and they spend their final days in the ICU on a vent. The other big group mentioned in this paper are dementia patients, patients with dementia. And their pattern is different. It's a very subtle, gradual pattern. Their last year of life is just like this sloping decline. It's kind of just like a step by step going down this long flight of stairs. Inability to perform ADLs, one ADL at a time, 1 month at a time. That's dementia. That's probably why their primary care doctor and their families don't really notice it, to be honest. And we do, because we take one look at the patient with dementia. We go like, what the fuck is going on here? Where all of these people that know the patient, it's been such a gradual change that I feel like they just don't notice it. Like, it's like the whole boiling frogs thing, right? When you see how many missing ADLs have stacked up and it shocks you on some of these patients with dementia and it's like no one else has noticed it, you need to kind of start the conversation about about dementia and about the end of life for patients with dementia. You need to do this as their doctor. These are the patients that ED physicians are probably like the best at identifying because we are removed and we have a fresh perspective on kind of how they look. Identify those patients, especially when they start showing those classic patterns of the end of their life. Step two is 5 minutes. Again, don't address this conversation feeling pressured to achieve like full-blown 180-degree change, comfort care, hospice. Even if you know that that's what the patient eventually needs, just get the conversation going. That's all that you really need to do. 5 minutes. My goal with these patients, every time I see either the cancer or the dementia end-of-life pattern developing, is at least I try to dedicate 5 minutes, 5 full minutes to talk to them about death or their illness. I'll talk to them about the dying process or the patterns of cancer and dementia. I'll talk about them, what they were like before their illness. I will ask them what they want the end of their life to look like. Really, whatever. Do they want to prolong the dying process? Were they a fighter? Have they heard of hospice? What kind of concerns does the family have? Whatever comes up, 5 minutes. And I'll just talk to them, real talk, but no agenda. And I'm guilty in the past of carrying on these conversations with the agenda being trying to achieve some sort of code change. But honestly, that's not appropriate. I don't want you to do that. Don't be like me in that. I've changed that about myself. Have a compassionate, 5-minute, respectful, no agenda talk with the patients that you identify as good candidates for palliative care and end-stage cancer and dementia. Start the conversation. Step three, stages of change. So my goal now is to take these patients in 5 minutes from pre-contemplative to contemplative. I do think that that's possible to do in the emergency department. These patients are mostly pre-contemplative. They're full code, right? That shock you feel when you have a chronically ill patient with a horrible quality of life come in and again and again, and they've never even talked about palliative care. Is that shock that they are still pre-contemplative on this topic, that they've never thought about death. They have never even contemplated that there are other options, that nobody has explained that to them ever. So step three, my goal in the emergency department, this is where we have the power to help them the most and where I also kind of intentionally cut off my conversations now is to move them just from pre-contemplative to contemplative. I want them just thinking about this stuff, thinking about how they want the end of their life to be, thinking about palliative care and what they want for themselves. No action yet, nothing drastic, just think about it and talk about it. It's very reasonable to do that in 5 minutes. It's not impossible by any means. Step four, and I think this is very important, quit. Once they are contemplative, I'm kind of done. That's enough. For one day. These patients are usually really sick when they come in. Force yourself to stop. As much as it's tempting to kind of keep going and keep talking about this and be like, oh yeah, and then there's hospice. Just say, great. We have some wonderful specialists in the hospital that deal with the treatment of patients with long-term illnesses. If it's okay with you, I'll give them a call and have them stop by while you're admitted. Is that okay? And you say, you know, yes, no, and I promise you, they almost always say yes. And then I'll put in a palliative care consult from the emergency department. And then step five is you treat and admit just like normal. I'll admit them and I'll treat them exactly the same as any other patient. You don't have to get fancy here. I've tried spending lots of time taking a patient from contemplative to preparation and explaining all the different options. I've talked to patients and they've changed their code status to comfort care. I've tried coming up with less aggressive, kind of like half aggressive treatment plans for these patients where you're like, man, I really don't know if I should be starting them on like pressors. Maybe we'll kind of just do the antibiotics type of a thing, making these little modifications. I've done that, but it's so much time and like mental energy to try to do that. Time and energy that as an attending, like in the real world, you're not going to have. I'll just treat them like normal and admit them. But then what I do is I tell the admitting physician, hey, I've already consulted palliative care. If you want to talk with the patient about this as well, I'm sure that would help them too. But full code for now. That's what I do, specifically with these palliative care cases where they're full code, but really they should be like in hospice and there's like this huge dichotomy. That's what I think a reasonable standard of care to develop out of the emergency department would be, a reasonable plan of action that anyone can implement where we are really achieving real life, productive palliative care discussions in 5 minutes in the emergency department when there's a lot going on. Just get them contemplative, legitimately just care for them as a person, talk to them, treat whatever is going on like you are trained to do, answer any questions, and then rally the resources that your hospital already has in place to help them while they're admitted. If you guys have ever rotated with palliative care or met some of these palliative care consultants, there's just something about them. I swear to God, they are all just angels. They are, I suppose there's probably exceptions out there, but in my experience, they're just wonderful people. So get them on board to help you. That's not like a bad thing. That's kind of like why they're there. But that's my personal approach to palliative care in the emergency department. I would love to hear your thoughts. This is a very difficult topic. Just take care of your patient. That's all I ask. I've said this before. I think you guys are amazing. I think all of you have tremendous purpose and something that you have the potential to do in this field in healthcare that can really help patients. And for some of you, it's to get to the organizational level and really take this issue head on and tackle it. And I hope that some of you that are listening are thinking like, oh my God, I really care about this. I want to fix this and really work on palliative care. I'm passionate about that. Let me know if that's you. I'd love to help you in any way I can. I'm no expert. Again, check out the paper that I attached. You might find it interesting. But for the rest of you, 5 minutes, just if everyone did this, just talk to the patient, get them contemplative, consult palliative care, it would make a world of difference, I think. I love you guys. I am excited for all of you to become doctors someday and nurses and medics and nurse practitioners and PAs. I believe you have tremendous potential. Also, I have a special surprise I'm working on. It's not really a surprise, I've told some of you, but go ahead and you can start following EM Clerkship on Facebook, because what I'm going to start doing, I've kind of sampled this with a few platforms like YouTube Live, Twitch, but basically I'm just going to start doing like an office hours thing through Facebook Live. And so when I'm in my office and I'm just kind of studying and answering emails and maybe like writing up a podcast script, I'm going to do it more or less live on camera, and I'll just be sitting there and not really doing anything. But if you're on Facebook, you can just kind of pop into the chat and we can talk about whatever. It's basically just meant to kind of be like office hours, right? Some of my best professors in college, one of the reasons that like they really connected with me is because they were in their office and I would just stop by a lot after class and they could talk to me about stuff, answer any questions I had. That's kind of the purpose of the Facebook group. So go ahead, add the EM Clerkship Facebook group. It should be visible. I've been working on it for a while. Anyways, until next time, keep working hard, keep studying, and be sure to enjoy your shift.